We're holding on Ayin Vov Amud Beis by the Mishnah. We talked about who's allowed and not allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people. We mentioned the Suadako Kris Shofcha, and now continuing on that topic. Mishnah says, Amonium may ovi asurim, and a male ger from Amonu Moyav, asur, to intermarry freely into the Jewish people. Again, they can marry a Giyotis, they can marry a Mamzeres, what have you. The Isur and Isur Olam, and the Isur lasts forever. In other words, not only the ger himself, but also his son, his grandson, etc. Avon the Kevi Sehem, Mutaris Miyad, but girls from Amon and Moyav, a Mutar right away, which means, number one, that it means the Giyotis herself, as we're going to have the example, of course, of Rus. And it also means that, for example, if an Amoni man becomes a ger, we'll discuss in the Gemara that his daughter will also be mutter. We'll see about the exact details, because keep in mind, he can't just marry any Jewish woman. What happens if he marries a regular Jewish woman as his daughter kosher? We'll discuss that in the Gemara. The Mishnah continues, Mitzri ve'edomi enim asurim elad shlosh adoris. A ger from Mitzrayim or from Edom are also only until three generations. Echad schorim ve'echad nekevas, that one applies to both men and women. So the first generation can't freely marry into the Jewish people, neither can their children, but the third generation, the grandson of the original ger or gioris, could. Reb Shimon matras and nekevas miyad, Reb Shimon says that the women from Mitzrayim and Edom are also right away allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people. And Omer Reb Shimon kavachomer advarim. And Reb Shimon says, listen, you can make a kavachomer. Uma'im b'mochem she'osor as ha'schorim isu olam. Madach, when it comes to Amon and Moav, where the males are also forever, hiteras and akevas miyad, but still Hashem is, we're saying, as we have the halacha of Moshe Sinai, as we're going to get to, that the women are mutter right away. So then, mokum shaloi also as a schodim elad shloisha dirtis. Then, in that case, by Mitzrayim and Edom, where the pasuk says they're only also till three generations, up to not including three generations, ein adin shenatras and akevas miyad. Wouldn't it be a kavachomer that we allow the women right away? Omru loy. So the chachamim answered Reb Shimon, im halacha nekabel. If what you're saying is a halacha that you heard from your rabbeim, then we'll accept it. We can accept that what you're saying is valid. Still doesn't mean we have to agree with it, but at least we can accept that you have a valid point. The imla din, but if it's just that you're coming up with this based on the kavachomer that you said, yes, tshuva, then we have a way of slogging up that kavachomer, as we will see on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, what the chachamim answer, how they slog up that kavachomer. Omalahem, sort of Shimon tells them, loiki, it's not so. Don't think that you have a way to slog me up. Even my kavachomer, actually, you wouldn't have a valid refutation to, as we'll see in the Gemara. But in any case, that's a moot point, because I'm not actually doing it based on my kavachomer. I'm actually doing it as a halacha that I learned from my rabbi. Nevertheless, though, the halacha is not like Reb Shimon. The halacha is like the chachamim, that the adomim and the mitzrim, it's three generations. With that said, we said yesterday that the Rambam writes, based on the Gemara that we discussed yesterday and various other Gemaras, that ever since Sancheriv mixed up all the nations, then we don't have this issue anymore. There are actually some Rishonim who learn that maybe we talked about yesterday, that maybe the Mitzriim are different. Maybe Sancheriv didn't exile them at all, or maybe he did, and then afterwards they returned. So therefore, there are some Rishonim who say that with Mitzriim there would be a problem. But most Rishonim say, and this is how it's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, that no, but there's no issue at all with any nations, because they've all been thoroughly mixed up, and we can't tell who's from what nation. And since the majority of nations, once they become Gerim, they're allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people right away, then we say Kol Deparish, Meruva Parish, whichever one separates himself from them and becomes a Ger, is, we assume, is coming from the Roiv, and therefore he's allowed to marry any Jewish woman he wants. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Where do we said that a woman from Amon or from Moav, who becomes a Gioris or the daughter of a gay or whatever, is allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people right away? Where do we know this from? Amar Rabbi Yechanan de Omakra, good morning, Aaron. The pasuk says, "V'chirois Shol as David yotzi lekras haplishti." When Shol saw David was going out against the plishti, this is in the story of Goliath. Omer al Avner Sarat Sava. So Shol asks Avner, his general, Ben Mizeh Hanar Avner. Avner, whose son is this young man? By Yomer Avner, and Avner answers, Chei nafshecha melechim yadaiti, I swear by your life, king, that I don't know. So what do you mean? V'lo yadalai, how does Shaul not know who David is? In the previous chapter, it says that Shaul loved David very much. This was David had been brought to play music for Shaul to make him feel better during the times when he was feeling down. And it says Shaul loved him very much. By Hilo Noisekelim, and he became Shaul's arms bearer, where the arms bearer necessarily has to be very close to the soldier. So he knew him very well. So how could he be asking, if he's asking Ben Mizan now, it sounds like he's asking, who is he? But what do you mean, who is he? He knows who he is. Ela Avua Kamasho. You can say that he's asking about his father. So he knows who David is, but he's not really familiar with David's father. The question is, still, how could you say that Shaul doesn't know David's father? The Pasuk says that earlier in that chapter about the story of Goliath, it says the man, meaning Yishai, in Shaul's times was old, Baba Anoshim. He came in with men. So we're talking about Yishai. He would go in and he would go out with an uchlusa, which means, Rashi says, uchlusa, we find from a different Gemara, means samach riboy, 600,000. So he would go in and out accompanied by 600,000, because in other words, Rashi says he was a sar, he was a leader, he was a leader of that many people. It can mean a leader in war, it can mean a leader in Torah, it probably means both. Whatever the case, the point is that Yishai himself was pretty well known. How could Shaul not know who he is, that he'd have to be asking that he'd have to be asking about David's parentage, and Avner swears and he says, I don't know. Now, on a pshat level, the Radak, for example, says over there that it means that Yishai once was well known, and fine, he was Yotzev and Nichnas Bochlosa, but now he's old, so now he's not doing that anymore, so now over the years he had been forgotten from the public knowledge, but still, the Gemara doesn't seem to like that explanation. The answer is like this, Hochi Ka'ama Shaul. It means Shaul's not asking who David's father is, he knows that. What he's asking is about David's ancestry. He's asking, Imi Peretz Osi, Imi Zerach Osi. I see that this guy is such a mighty warrior and such a brave guy, and he went and defeated Goliath. So what's the story with him? Is he from which son of, I know he's from Shevet Yehuda, which son of Yehuda is he descended from Peretz or from Zerach? Sure, Yehuda actually had three surviving sons. He had another one called Shelah, but for whatever reason, I guess Shaul knew that he can't be from Shelah. He has to be from one of the more important families of Yehuda, and the important families of Yehuda come from Yehuda and Tamar, and they are Peretz and Zerach. So which one does he come from?
What did it matter to him to ask these questions?
That's what we're going to say in the next line. Imi Peretz Osi, he says, if he comes from Peretz, Malkahavi, then it means I know that he's destined to be a king. And in that case, then Shaul has what to worry about. And now, why from Peretz? Shamelach Peretz Lasis Derech Ve'en Memachin B'Yodim. We know that there's the halacha that a king is allowed to break through. For example, a king has to make a road for his soldiers to travel. He's allowed to break through whatever is necessary to make a road. Ve'en Memachin B'Yodim, and nobody can protest. So Rashi actually says it doesn't mean for his army. Rashi says that it means even, let's say, he needs a shortcut from his palace to his orchard or his vineyard, then he's allowed to use eminent domain to break through. The Rambam seems to learn differently, actually, because the Rambam says he doesn't have the right to do it for his personal needs, only for the needs of the kingdom. So according to the Rambam, it would be more that we'd be talking about he's doing it, let's say, when the army needs a place to go. Whatever the case, the point is the king has the right of eminent domain. The Peretz is Meloshon Peretz. So therefore, so now Shaul is saying this guy seems to be so royal, as we're going to see in a couple of lines. So therefore, if he comes from Peretz, then it means, in fact, he's going to be the king. And then Shaul was thinking to himself, then I have what to be afraid of from him. Imi Zerach Osi, and if he descends from Zerach, Chashiva Ba'almahavi. Okay, it means he'll be an important person. He'll be an important minister or something, but then I don't have to worry about him as a potential rival. So that's what Shaul wanted to know. My time at Omalei, Shalalei. So why indeed is Shaul asking Avner to ask about him? What makes Shaul think that he needs to know this anyway? Dichtiv, because earlier in the story it says, so when David offers to go fight against Goliath, So the pasuk is by Yalbish Sholas David Madov. It says Shol had David put on his clothing. Now, Bapashtus, the idea was, in other words, that David's going to go there unarmed, so Shol is going to put a suit of armor on him. But the word Madov means kimidosei, means it ended up being his size. Now, Shol, it says, was a head taller, head and shoulders taller than everybody else. So when it fit David, B'derech Nes, then Shaul realized something's going on over here. This guy has simonim of royalty in him. Well, is he in fact going to be a king, or is he just going to be somebody important, but not necessarily all the way to the rank of a king? So that's what made Shaul ask about it. Which, by the way, the Pesukim mentioned over there, and Rashi explains on the Pesuk over there, that David saw that Shaul was looking jealously at him, that it actually fits him. So he took off the armor and made the excuse that, you know what, I don't need it. I'm not used to walking in armor anyway. I'm a shepherd. And he went unarmed. So now Doyeg HaDoimi, who was the head of the Sanhedrin at that time, he was a distinguished Talmid Chacham, but he was throughout the rest of Doyeg's life, he was David's nemesis, he's David's enemy. And we find in various other Gemaras that unfortunately, even though he was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, he was a mushchas, he had very bad midos. In the end, he actually lost the schus of his Torah, and he lost his place in Olam Haba, according to some opinions in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, because of the Lashon Hara that he said, because he wiped out Noivir HaKoyinim, etc. Anyway, so Doyeg HaDoimi says, Ad Shatam Mashal Olivim Hogan Ulamalfus, listen, Shaul, you're asking whether he's suitable for kingship, whether he's from Peretz or from Zerach, Imlav, or if not, better Shal Olivim Roy Lovim Akal Imlav, ask whether he's Bechlal even allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people. My time at Kalsi Mirus HaMoyavia. After all, Rus, who was from Moyav, was his grandmother. And the Torah tells us you're not allowed, an Ammoni or Moyavi is not allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people. So forget whether he's Roy for the kingship. He's not even Roy for the Jewish people. Omalei Avner. So Avner says to him, no, Tanena Ammoni v'lai Ammonis, Moyavi v'lai Moyavis. We say that a Moyavis and an Ammonis are mutar to intermarry into the Jewish people, which is what our Mishnah said in the Kevasei Matoris Miyad. So in other words, the point is, since the Pasuk says the word Ammoni or Moavi, then we're meant to understand that it means Ammoni, specifically a male from Ammon and Moavi, a male from Moav, but not the women. So Doyeg says, Elameatam Mamzer v'lay Mamzeres. So what, by the same logic, you're going to say a couple of psukim earlier, it says, Lo Yovi Mamzer b'kal Hashem. You're going to say it means a Mamzer, only a male Mamzer, but a female Mamzeres is allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people. We know it's not so. So that doesn't prove anything. The Torah is written b'loshen zachar. Usually when the Torah says a din, it phrases it in the masculine. And we're meant to understand most of the time that it applies to women as well. So just because it says Ammoni, just because it says Mamzer doesn't mean not Mamzeres. The same way just because it says Ammoni doesn't necessarily mean not an Ammonis. So Avner says, okay, that's different. Because Mamzer ksiv Mumzor. Because the difference is that the word Mamzer itself is short for Mumzor, a foreign blemish. In other words, the idea that there should be such a person among the Yidden is something foreign, that's something that doesn't, but it's a blemish that doesn't even belong, that among Jews who should be more tzniistic in these things. So the implication is, as long as it's a blemish, whether the result is a man or a woman, or whether the child is a boy or a girl, either way, they're still considered a Mamzer, so you can't say that there's an exception over there. Okay. So Doyeg says, what about Mitzri v'loi Mitzris? So what about, you're going to say the same thing when the Torah says Lo Sasayev Mitzri and Lo Sasayev Adoimi. So you're going to say that it means that the men from the only the men from Mitzrayim and Edoim are not allowed to intermarry, but the women are. And we know again from our Mishnah that not. So Avner answers, Shiny Hoch, the Mefarish Taimer Dekra. The difference is, you know what? By Ammon and Moav, you're right. It's not only from the word Ammoni or Moavi. That wouldn't be a solid enough proof. But because the Torah goes on to give a reason. Why are the Ammonim and Moavim not allowed to intermarry with the Jewish people? Al asher lekidmu eschem balechem v'amayim. Because they didn't come to greet you with bread and water when you're passing by their lands. So therefore, we can learn from that. It's the normal thing that a man should come out and offer food to the travelers, but not the women, because as the Gemara is going to say soon, the women are expected to be more tzniistic. So by giving the reason, the Torah itself is implying that there's a difference between the men and the women. So he asks, by the way, Mefoshim on the Pasuk explained that what it is there's Ammon and Moav. Ammon refused to bring out bread and water. Now, Moav, actually, the Pasuk implies in a different place that they did bring bread and water. But with Moav, there's a different issue, namely that the Pasuk goes on to say that they hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people. So each one has their own reason what the problem was. Anyway. So Doeg says, so what? Okay, I agree it would have been unsneistic of the women to go and offer food to the men. But fine, the women still should have come out and from Moav and from Ammon and offered food to the Jewish women. So therefore, so if they didn't, you can still hold them the money. So if not, you can still hold them responsible for that. So therefore, so you're telling me, says Doeg, that the Pasuk is implying that the women should be mutter because how could they be expected to go bring out food? But the fact is they should have for the women. Ishtik. So at that point, Avner was quiet. He didn't have an answer to that. Miyad by Yemi Amalach Sha'al Ata Ben Mizeha Olam. So now the Pasuk continues. So what happens? So let's look at the Pesukim. So Sholot asked Avner, Ben Mizehanar, where now we understand he's not asking who David's father was, he's asking who David's ancestry is, and that led to this whole discussion back and forth. So now when Avner says, Chei Nafshecha Melech in Yodaiti, he's saying that I give up. I don't know why David should be Mutter Lovei B'Kohel. So now the pasuk continues. Vayomer Hamelach Sha'al Ata Ben Mizeh Ha'Olam. You ask whose son is this Olam? Now Olam is another word for a young man. But Hosam Karelei Nair, but Hoch Karelei Elam. In the previous pasuk, it calls him Nair. Why now is it changing the wording and calling him Elam?
Were they learning this for the first time? Whether a Ben?
Apparently, this was the first time that it had come up. I should say no, not really. Actually, I mean, even when Boaz first married Ruth a couple of generations earlier, the issue had come up then. But now Doeg is bringing it up again. We'll talk about it in a few minutes.
So it's open territory.
Well, we'll talk about, hold on. So the answer is, Hochi ka'amale. The answer is that Shaul is telling Avner, listen, at this point, halacha nis'alma mimcha, at this point, the halacha has been obscured from you, ha'olam meloshen that's hidden, it's concealed, that you don't know it. Save Sha'al Beis Medrash, so you better go ask in the Beis Medrash and find out whether Doeg is right or whether Doeg is right, whether David is in fact also Lovei B'Kohel. Sha'al, so Avner went to the Beis Medrash and asked Omrulay, and they told him the halacha is Amoni v'lay Amonis me'ali v'lay me'obis. So it may be that Doeg has a valid logical point, but nevertheless, that's not the halacha. Actually, Doeg called Hani Kushiyasa. So Doeg came in and started asking them all the questions. They went over this whole discussion that we just did. Ishtiku, and they were also quiet. They also couldn't find an answer to Doeg's last point. The fact is, why should the women be mutter because they didn't have to go out and offer bread and food to the Jewish people? The women should have come to greet the Jews, the Jewish women. Boilach Ruzi Alei. So Doeg was about to announce that David is possible. Miyad, but then we have something else. Now, this is the pasuk that we're going to quote is from later on in Sefer Shmuel, but the Gemara understands that it happened at this time. The pasuk describes later on, but Amasa, it talks to the later on, the pasuk introduces Amasa. Now, Amasa was actually a nephew of David. He's introduced later on in Sefer Shmuel, many, many years later, when Avshalom revolted, then Amasa became his general. Anyway, so who is Amasa? The pasuk describes Amasa ben Ish Ushmo Yisra Yisraeli. He's the son of a man named Yisra Yisraeli Ashabo El Abigail Bas Nachash, who had relations with Abigail Bas Nachash, where the Gemara explains elsewhere that Bas Nachash is actually Nachash, but he was actually a nickname for Yishai. So what happened was Yishai had, you know, eight sons, of whom the seventh was David. He also had a couple of daughters, Tsruya and Abigail. Tsruya is the mother of Yoav, and Yoav had two brothers as well. And Abigail, not the same Abigail who later on married David, same name, different woman, obviously, you can't marry a sister. This Abigail now was the mother of Amasa. So now one pasuk describes her husband as Yisra HaYisraeli Uchtiv, but then when it mentions him in Divrei HaYomim, instead it calls him Yisra HaYishmaeli. So what is it? Was he a Yishmaeli or was he Yisraeli? So on a pshat level, some of the Mefoshim explain that it means he was a Yishmaeli who became a Ger. But still, the Gemara doesn't like that explanation, because maybe because there's no particular need to mention it. So Amar Rava Malamet Shachoga Chayvati Yishmo, it means that he, it can mean that Yisra himself, it can mean that Amasa, put on his sword, girded on his sword, on his waist, he Yishmael, like the way a Yishmaeli, like the way an Arab would do, but Omer, and he announced, Kol mi she'en ishtemeya halacha zu, yidokur becherib. Anybody who doesn't listen to this halacha deserves to be stabbed with the sword. Because kach mekublani mi beis dinish of Shmuel Aramasi, because I have the Kabbalah from the beis din of Shmuel, and Shmuel was the Kabbalah Masurda of his time. Yeah. He's the one, the whole Masurda travels through him. Amoni v'loy amonis me'ovi v'loy me'ovis. So therefore, so Amasa or Yisra, his father, forced the issue. Now, how do you do that? I mean, you're taking in a sword, and then that establishes the halacha. And then and another interesting question is, why are we comparing him to Yishmael? Who are the ones? What's the nation that's associated with the sword? Esav, Balchav, Bechotichya. So why are we mentioning Yishmaeli? So each of those has a couple of interesting answers as far as how Amasa or Yisra is saying, I'm going to force the issue with the sword. The Brisker Rav, Reb Velvel, has an explanation about it like this. The Ben Yahyada mentions this point very briefly, but the Brisker Rav teaches it out in more detail. There's two ways in which you can learn a halacha like this. That's not in Torah Shabbat Sad. You can learn it with the Yudor Midas Shatur Nidreshes Behem, or it can be a halacha l'moshe Mesinai. Now, if it's a halacha l'moshe Mesinai, nobody's allowed to argue with it. But if it's learned with the Yud Gol Midas, then the Rambam writes that a later based in, even if the later based in is of lesser caliber, they can decide instead that we learn it differently and overturn that halach. So now what's going on over here is Doig is arguing that this whole thing is learned with one of the Yud Gol Midas, because again, we're learning it from what the pasuk describes why this ban is in effect. And therefore, so if we decide that we find a good reason to slug it up, like we said, the men should have gone to greet the men and the women, then we can slug it up. Up until now, the butts are you asking, is this the first time this is brought up? Not necessarily. But the point is, Doeg is saying, okay, so it was brought up in Boaz's times, and Boaz is a great Talmid Chacham, and he had the ability to decide it. So what? It was learned with the Yud Gol Midas Shatur Nidreshes Behem. We have every right to overturn it if we find that we darshan differently. So now comes Amasa and says, no, you're wrong. It's not learned with the Yud Gol Midas. It's actually Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. And if anybody argues the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, then they're an Apokotis. And what do you do with an Apokotis? You kill him. Yeah. That's why he says that you tell you that we're going to take a Cherev and stab him, because if you're refusing to accept something of Torah Shabbat Pes, a Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, then you're an Apokotis, and then that's the end of you. Now, why are we comparing him to a Yishmael? So actually, the Aruch Choner says that you find that at the end of the first base mitzvah, you find Yishmael ben Nisanya came and killed Gedalia. That's why we have Tzum Gedalia. So therefore, he says, like the Chachamim used Ki Yishmael, and not as Yishmael the nation, but Ki Yishmael, like the man Yishmael, the Chachamim used it as like a metaphor for a person who puts on a sword and kills people. So therefore, in Divrei Hayamim, where the Sefer Divrei Hayamim was written by Ezra and Nehemiah at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash, after the story of Yishmael ben Nesanya, then they use the word Yesra Yishmaeli to hint to that point. Ben Yehoyada says differently. He says the vote is that you're not allowed to, we find in other Gemaras, you're not allowed to go into the Beis Medrash wearing a sword. So if he had been actually strapping a sword on his waist, then they wouldn't have allowed him into the Beis Medrash. So what is it? The Adomim wear large swords. The Yishmaelim wear smaller daggers that they conceal under their clothes. So that's what he did. He took in a small dagger hidden under his clothes. And now when this is coming up, then he pulls it out and threatens, as Brisker Rav is saying, that if you don't accept this halacha, then you're an apokotis. And yeah. So that's what happened over here. Okay. So the Gemara asks now, how can we accept that the Maharshal, by the way, has a whole nother explanation of the whole thing. He says that Doeg is saying, okay, so maybe what it is listen, in Boaz's case, you had a certain degree of the mitzvah of Yibum. It's not real Yibum, because Boaz wasn't the brother of Rus's husband, but nevertheless, there's an Indian of Yibum over there. So fine, you could say maybe Esa Doecha Loisese, for him to have relations with her the first time, then that would be allowed, even if we say that an Amonis, that or Mayavis is not allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people. But for afterwards, that you should be able to continue being with her and having children, no, says Doeg, until Amasa is saying that this is the halacha. So the Gemara says, well, Mima Haman, how can we accept what Amasa is saying, that that's the halacha? Kol Tamid Chacham Shemora Halacha Over. Whenever a Tamid Chacham says a Psak Halacha, and he's coming with a new Psak Halacha that we haven't heard before, Im Kodem Maisa Amra, if he says it before the Maisa comes up, so he says it when it's still a theoretical matter, Shomin Lo, then we can accept that what he's saying is a valid Halacha, Vim Lav in Shomin Lo, and if not, then not. So now, only after they bring up the question on David, only then is a Masa coming forward with this Halacha. So how can we accept that what he's saying is accurate? Tosfos points out that would only apply if he's negeya b'davar. Now, over here, Amasa, we said, was David's cousin, or David's nephew, rather. He's David's nephew. He's the son. We just said he was the son of David's sister, Abigail. So therefore, he's negeya b'davar. If they declare that David is possible, that means the entire family, going back to Boaz and Ruth, going back to Ovid, the son of Boaz and Ruth, is possible. Therefore, he's negeya b'davar. So therefore, that's why the Gemara is bothered by how can we accept the halacha from him after the fact. And the answer is shiny hocha. It's different over here. Dar Shmuel based in Ekayim. Because after all, Shmuel and his Beistin were still alive at that time. Shmuel passed away only a couple of years after that. This was relatively early. Well, relatively early. I mean, Shaul ruled for only 2 years. But Shaul's whole reign was only 2 years. But this story of Goliath, after that, you have when eventually Shaul became jealous of David and is chasing him all over the place. Eventually, you have in the course of that, later on, this story is in Shmuel Aleph Perek Yitzayim. Later on, in Perek Chav Hei, it says Shmuel passed away. And then 4 months after that, Chazal tell us, then Shaul was killed in battle. So meanwhile, at this point, Shaul is still alive. Shmuel is still alive. So therefore, it's not that we have to trust Amasa. If they wanted, they could actually go ask Shmuel, and he would confirm what Amasa had just said. So therefore, they could accept that. So Shmuel based in Ekayim. So therefore, it's a milsa David elagluy. The famous thing, milsa David elagluy, something that's easily going to be found out. Like a shakaba, a person doesn't lie about, and therefore they knew that Amasa is not going to be lying about it. Okay. So the Gemara says mikol makom. So that was the bottom line. It's the halacha. But the Gemara says, Mikol Makom Kasha, the fact is, doesn't Doyeg have a logical point? Taka, why is the halacha of Moshe Sinai that the women are mutter and not the men? So the Gemara says, Hocha Tagdimu, here, meaning in Bavel, they explain, because as the Pasuk says, Kol Kvod Bas Melech Pnimah, the whole glory of the king's daughter is inside. Now, we're talking about Goyish women, but still, the point is, in other words, that even the Goyish women are expected to act with a certain degree of tznius, and not to go coming out into the public area over there to offer food to the women. So yes, they could have. Yes, Doyeg is saying they could have offered food to the women, but we're saying, in other words, that would still be a breach of tznius, and therefore the pasuk is not expecting them to do that, and therefore it doesn't hold it against them the fact that they didn't do it. Even if they had permission, but still, it's. That we're saying that we're saying it's not really the expected thing. A woman is usually supposed to stay at home. Mm-hmm. You look at the Rambam, by the way, and don't tell the Rambam to your wives; they're not going to like it. But he says, for example, that you can't keep a woman prisoner in her home all the time. But on the other hand, she should go out maybe once a month, two times a month, or something. not more than that. Yeah. So that's one reason. B'ma'arova Amri, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they said, B'itemer Rabbi Yitzchak, or some say Rabbi Yitzchak said, because Omakra, you have the Pasuk, B'yomru Eilu V'yei Sara Yishtecha, where the Malachim ask David, where is Sara? And he says, Hine Ba'oil. So we see the same idea, in other words, that women are expected to stay in the tent and be tzniyastik. So therefore, the fact that they didn't come out, we can't hold that against them. The Ramban, I think it is, explains on the Pasuk. In addition, also, when it says that they hired Bilam, the women weren't involved in that either. So therefore, that's that you can't hold that against them either. There is a different point, by the way. There's a Gemara in a couple of places. We learned it recently in Ein Yaakov in the afternoons over here, that you have Loit and his, going back all the way to Loit and his daughters, where his daughter was meant L'shem Shemayim. They thought the whole world, they thought all of humanity had been destroyed, whereas Loit, we said, was an immoral kind of guy, and he would have done it. He was more willing to do such a thing. So therefore, that's also therefore that also had an effect, but therefore the women from Ammon and Moab end up being mutter and the men not. Echoing what happened over here with Lloyd's daughters versus Lloyd himself.
And like, I felt like daughters felt that Avram died.
They figured everybody was gone. Yeah, I guess they figured even Avram. I don't know. Yeah, the whole world. Yeah.
So with Bat Melech Pnina, we have a Cheskes, David Melech, he's a Yehudi.
Yeah, so that's what we're saying. So ultimately, that's why. There are explanations, in fact, on it that says that in particular, when Boaz saw that Ruth was acting in a very sneeristic way when she was gathering in his field, then that gave him the idea that, you know, then that helps us realize that Ammoni Ammonis may Ovi Blame Ovis on the basis of this matter of Sneus, because their descendant, Rus, is actually demonstrating that characteristic. And that's what made him then later on in Sefer Rus, where he goes to in Megillas Rus, when he goes and gathers together the local base team and announces to them this halacha. By the way, Rabbi Reuven Margolius has an interesting take on that. He says, you know, you look at the story over there. So what happens? Rus says to Boaz, I want you to marry. So Boaz says, yes, but there's a closer goyel. He has first rights. We have to check first with him. So what happens? The pasuk describes that Boaz goes to the gate of the city, which is where the Beis Din would assemble in those days. He gathers together 10 skanim, and then the goyel comes by and he asks him, so what's the story? Do you want to marry Rus? And the goyel turns him down. And so Boaz ends up marrying Rus. So Rabbi Reuven Margolius points out, the goyel is the other, a closer relative of Rus's husband, Machlon, than Boaz was. I forget what it was. I think that Boaz was a cousin, and then this other guy was an uncle, or this other guy was a brother of Elimelech. Whatever, he was one degree closer than Boaz. Anyway. So Rabbi Reuven Margolius points out, so why did Boaz have to do it that way? Let him just go in the morning, knock on the guy's door, ask him, so what's the story? Do you want to be Goyal Rus or not? And if the guy says no, then Boaz will gather together the skanim and make it official that he's marrying Rus. Rabbi Reuven says, based on this Gemara over here, that would be La'acha Maisa. Because what happens if the Goyal says he won't do it? It means Boaz is next in line. Now, if he gathers together the Chachamim and announces, you should know the Halacha is Mayobi, V'lay Mayobis, we're not going to accept it, like we said over here. So therefore, he had to do it in the right order. First, he gathers them to the Chachamim together and announces the halacha ma'ovi v'lay ma'ovis. Now, when the goyo comes, at this point, he's not yet negei b'davar, because he might not end up marrying her at all. Then, when he calls over the goyo and the goyo says, "I don't want to," pen ashkes is nachalasi, where one of the explanations is in fact that the guy is saying, "Very nice, Boaz, you announced that that's the halacha, but how do I know that a later Beis Din won't overturn it, as we see that Doeg was about to do?" So therefore he turns the offer down, and Boaz ends up marrying her.
Why wouldn't Shaul suspect David will be the king even more so than Boaz? He was the highest of the highest, and he's a Zaydi of David HaMelech.
But that's the point. In other words, that's the point that we were saying, that Doeg is arguing, okay, Boaz was a great Talmud Chacham in his times. He had the right to do what he did based on his understanding of the halacha. But now, if we understand the halacha differently, then we can overturn it. And we can say that David and his family are possible. Or again, you have what Marsha says, that Doeg is saying, it's not that Boaz did wrong. Boaz did the first beer with her. Fine, that's legitimate, because Esed Deichaloy says that.
After that, Boaz passed away.
Yeah, fine. But the point is, in other words, Doeg would say, that doesn't show that in future generations you're allowed to continue doing that, or it doesn't show that even Boaz himself, if he had lived, would have been allowed to stay married to Ruth. He's allowed to marry her and have relations with her the one time in order to accomplish Yibum.
What about the fact that Shmuel was alive then?
That's the thing. So that was Amasa pointed out, that Shmuel is alive, and therefore he said, and then Shmuel has taught us that it's halacha mishmisina, and therefore there's no questioning it. But that's the point. Before that, Doeg was questioning it. And by the way, you still find that nevertheless, people for long after that were still bringing it up whenever they wanted to harass David.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go on in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Ketanoi. Now this point about why indeed the Mayovim and why indeed the Ammonis and Mayovis Amutar is actually Machlokas Tanoim. One, Ammoni implies V'lay Ammonis, Mayovi implies V'lay Mayovis, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So just from the word Ammoni and Mayovi itself, you can learn the Halacha, says Rabbi Yehuda. Reb Shimon says, no, you can't learn it from that, because Ammoni, the same way as Mitzvi and Nedomi, doesn't necessarily mean only the men. The pasuk continues, Al-Dvar Asher L'Kidmu Eschem B'Lechem L'Amayim, because they didn't come in and greet you with bread and water, and Dauke Shalish L'Kadim B'Chola, and it's only the normal way of a man to do that, and not a woman. Same as we said before. So the two points that we said, that they explained in Eretz Yisrael versus in Babel, are the same machlokes, or not really the same explanations that we said before, that Avner and Doeg were arguing about as machlokes tanoim as well. Okay, Dorash Rava, my dichtiv pitachta l'maisei. What does it mean? A pasuk in Tehillim in Hallel that David says, "You opened up my bonds." Moiseres, Rashi explains, specifically means like ropes like ropes of ritzuos that you tie things up with them. So David is saying, Hashem, you opened up, you loosened my ropes or my straps. What are you talking about? Amar David, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shlomo, Shnei Meiseris, Shehayu Alai, there were two ropes, there were two straps that were on me that were preventing me and my descendants from freely joining the Jewish people. Pitach them, and you open them up by making these halachas, by creating these halachas, Rus HaMayaviyah, Benama HaMonis, that my own ancestress Rus, and that my daughter-in-law, Nama HaMonis, who was one of the wives of Shlomo, that they're mutter love b'kohol. So Hashem, you open that up by creating these halachas, L'moshe Mesinai, in the first place, long in advance, to make it that they should be able to intermarry into the Jewish people. So that's the Moisei Roy in plural. And Dorash Rabba, my dichtiv, another pasuk into them, Rabbi Sosisa, tell Hashem alekai, you Hashem have done tremendous things, Nifloy Secho, Machshvei Secho, Eleinu, your wondrous things and your thoughts are to us. So what do you mean? He doesn't say to me, even though most of the rest of that capital is written in first person. It says to us, plural. So who else is he talking to? So Rechavam, David's grandson, was sitting in David's lap as a baby, and David was telling him, these two psukim about the Ammonim and Mayavim are said about me and you, because I'm descended from Rus HaMayaviyah. Your mother is Nama HaMonis. So the fact that both of us are kosher, love and bakal, is a result of Hashem's tremendously wise thoughts that he put into the Torah to begin with, Ammoni v'loy Ammonis, and so forth. So the vort is, in other words, that the Pasuk says Rechavam was 41 when he became king. Shlomo, his father, ruled for 40 years. So it comes out, he was born 1 year before David passed away, 1 year before Shlomo became king. So therefore, so now David is still alive when Rechavam was born, and now we're saying he's holding him in his lap. With that said, and by the way, since Chazal tell us that Shlomo was 12 when he became king, then it would mean that he fathered Rechavam when he was 11. The Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin that in the earlier generations, they had the ability to do that. But anyway, with that said, though, Hagos Ma'arav Ransburg over here refers to the Sefer Asara Ma'amores, who has a very interesting take on this whole story. He brings from some source, I don't remember what his source is, that it's not that Shlomo, like this from the Pshat of the Gemara over here, it comes out that Shlomo married Nama HaMonis while David was still alive, obviously, because if Rechavam was born while David was alive. But on the other hand, he brings an idea that we know that there was a period of time when Shlomo was kicked off the throne by Ashmedai. He learns that actually it was during that period while he was wandering around that he met Nama HaMonis and was Megayer her and married her. And then their son Rechavam was born. So he says, when it says Rechavam was 41 when he became king, it means, for example, that that's when he became king only over Yehuda, maybe for a period of time. He was king over all the Shvatim before they rebelled. The fact that it says that Shlomo was king for 40 years also maybe means only that he was king for 40 years, plus you have to add several years for him wandering around when he was kicked off the throne. So therefore, it could work out. So he says that actually, it's not that David actually has Rechavam on his lap. It means he learns that David knew Beruah HaKodesh, that Nama has been born at this point in Ammon, and he's saying, I see Beruah HaKodesh, that she is going to end up becoming a Giyurdus, and she's going to end up being the mother of my grandson, Rechavam, and he's saying this pasuk about that. Okay. Anyway, Rechavam was not the best king. So actually, the Asara Ma'amores points out that what should have been, if Rechavam had done right, then he would have been Mashiach, and Yeravam from Shevet Ephraim would have been his Mishnah Melech. But unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. But yeah.
Then we wouldn't be born.
Well, we would have. We'd be born after Yeravam Mashiach. But yeah. All right, anyway, let's go on. Dorash Rava. So Rava says another Dorash, another Pasuk from the same capital Mem, as the Pasuk Rabbi Sosisa. The Pasuk continues a few Pesukim later. Oz Amarti Hine Vasi. Then I said, David says, behold, I have come. B'Megillas Sefer Kosev Olai. It was written about me in the scroll of the Sefer. So what does that mean? Omer David, Ani Amarti Ata Basi. I thought, now I've come. In other words, now it's finally been established that this is the halacha. Like we said before, the Chachamim of our generation, or the generation before me, established this, let's say, with the Yud Gimel Midas Shatur and Adresh thing. The lawyer Daiti Shabim Gila Sefer, Kosev Olai. I didn't know that I'm going to be part of the Jewish people, Rashi says, Ani Amarti means when I was anointed. When I was anointed as king, I thought it's only just now that Hashem decided that me and my family should have this greatness. The lawyer Daiti, I didn't know, Shabim Gila Sefer, Kosev Olai, that actually it was written about me in the Torah long before, all the way from the time of Avraham Avinu, that I am destined for this. Because when the Malachim are telling Lot and his family to get out of Sodom as fast as possible, they tell him, take your wife and your two daughters, Hanimtsois, who are found, and get out of the city. Now that word is extra. What do you mean, who are found? You take your daughters. The same word is used when Hashem says, I found my servant David and I anointed him with my holy oil. So in other words, David is saying, now I realize that Hashem was hinting all the way back in the time of Avraham Avinu, that from these two daughters who are found in Sodom, from me is going to come the king that Hashem found for the Jewish people.
Oh,
yeah. In fact,
doesn't mean that those are the ones that are not married. And
right. So at a Pashto level, it means as opposed to we had two more daughters in town who were married. But yeah, still, it doesn't have to mention that. So in fact, the Medrash says on this, that when it says, Matsasi David Avi, the Medrash says, where did I find him? In Sodom.
Wow.
Because that's where David's ancestry comes from. Yeah. Rashi, by the way, Tosfos mentions, I mean, this pasuk Matsasi David is part of Tillim. So David himself is saying it, but he's saying it Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore saying it. Okay. Next, now let's talk about some halachas in this connection. Amar Ula Amar Rabbichan, Bas Ger Amoni Ksher LaKohuna. The daughter of a Ger from Ammon is mutter to marry a kohen. So right now we assume, to start with, what are we talking about? We're talking about an Ammoni who became a ger, and his wife also became a geodis with him, and now they have a daughter. So therefore, her rosa v'leidasa v'kdusha, she was conceived and born in kdusha. So we're saying that she's allowed to marry a kohen. But omale rova ba'ula la'ula kiman, which tana would that be like that you have to say that? E could of Yehuda. If you're going to say that your statement is according to Rabbi Yehuda, can't be ha'oma bas ger zocher kabas kolol zocher. Rabbi Yehuda actually holds that the son of a male ger is like the daughter of a male ger is like the daughter of a male cholol, and in other words, she's posel akorna. The same way as the daughter of a cholol is posel akorna, Rabbi Yehuda says the same way the daughter of a ger is posel akorna. So how does it help over here that his wife is a geyurdis as well? And if you're going to tell me that your halacha that you just said is like Rabbi Yossi, pshita, well, then it's obvious. Rabbi Yossi says that even if a ger marries a geyotis, then their daughter is kosher l'kohona. So then what's the chiddush over here? This is a ger marrying a geyotis, and harasa v'leidasa v'kosha. So what's the problem? Now you're going to answer that maybe without your din, Ula, we would say that Rabbi Yossi's din only applies to people, to Gerim, who are freely allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people. You're going to argue that maybe a Ger Amoni is different because he's not allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people, and therefore you need to tell us a Chiddush that nevertheless, in this case, since he's allowed to be married to his wife, because his wife herself is a Geyotis, then therefore their daughter is Kosher Lekohana. And you're going to say Minole, you're going to say, where would Rabbi Yossi learn to make such a distinction? You would say, Diyalef Mekoin Godol Ba'amona. You would say, because you could learn from the example of a Kohen Godol and an Amona, where after all, a Kohen Godol is not allowed to marry an Amona and their daughter would be a Chalala. So you're going to argue by the same logic that if an Amoni Ger marries a regular Jewish woman, then there would be a problem, but only if he marries a Giyotis, which he's allowed to, would the daughter be kosher l'kohana? But how do you compare the two cases? Says Rav Ba'ula. Malakon Godol Ba'amona Shekein Bi'Yosei Ba'Avera. After all, a Kohen Gadol marries an Amona, then it's an Aveira. But if an Amoni marries an Amonis, there's no Aveira involved. He's allowed to. So why would we think? I said it a little wrong. We're going to argue, in other words, we're going to say that an Amoni's daughter is never allowed the Kohuna because the Amoni himself is not allowed to marry into the Kohol. But the question is, why not? Mele, if he marries a Jewish woman, maybe if he marries a born Jewish woman, which is an Isser, then fine. You could say that their daughter is also the corner. But if he marries an Amonis who herself is a Giyotis, then what's the problem? He's perfectly allowed to marry her. You can't compare it to a Kohen Gadol Ba'amona because a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Amona. An Amoni is allowed to marry an Amonis. So what's the problem? The Gemara says, okay, cholol yichiach, nu, so we can instead prove it based on the case of a cholol. If a cholol marries a Bas Yisrael, now he's perfectly allowed to, nevertheless, their daughter is a cholola. So therefore you see that it doesn't depend on whether the bia is an aveira or not. So you're going to say, mal cholol shekein yitzirose ba'aveira. On the other hand, you can say you can't prove from a cholol to an amoni because a cholol was created through an aveira. How did a person become a cholol in the first place? Because his parents, because his father was a kohen, and his mother was a grusha or one of the other women that's also to a kohen. So as opposed to the Ammoni was not Yitzuros of Avera. There was no problem with his Goyish parents getting married. So you're going to answer Kohen Gadol, Yechiyach. Okay, well, we'll answer back from the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol was not Yitzirase Ba'avera. The Kohen Gadol was born from good parentage, and yet we're saying that his daughter, if he marries an Amona, is Pasal Akona. So V'chazir Adin, so it'll go back and forth. We're going to have, on the one hand, a Kohen Gadol marrying an Amona. On the other hand, a Cholol marrying a Bas Yisrael. Each one has a factor that the other one doesn't have. The Cholol was created by an Aveira, but his marriage of a Bas Yisrael is not an Aveira. The Kohen Gadol is the other way around. He wasn't created by Aveira, but his Bia with the Amono or whoever is by Aveira. Hatsada Shava Shaban, but what do they have in common? She'ene B'roiv Kohol. Both of them are not like most of the rest of the Kohol, because there's something wrong with both of them. The Kohen Gadol and the Chol, with the Amona and the Cholol with the Bas Yisrael. Each of them, there's a flaw in them. Ubita Psula, and the daughter is Pasul. Afkan, well, then you could argue with the Ammoni. She'ene B'roiv Kohol. He's not like most of the Kohol, because he's not allowed to freely intermarry into the Jewish people, and therefore you should argue Ubita Psula. So therefore, yes, maybe there is room for Ula's din. If the Ammoni marries an Ammonis, then we could say that his wife herself is a Giyor. So we would say that maybe Rabbi Yossi would be saying that a ger shenosa giyoris bitek sheir lekohana, but only if that ger is beroiv kohol, only if he's allowed to freely intermarry into the Jewish people, not an Ammoni who's not. So where are you getting that an Ammoni's daughter would be allowed to marry a kohen? So the more answers, malat tzada shava shaban. Yes, but you have to consider there's another tzada shava that you can make between the kohen gadol and the cholol, which doesn't apply to the Ammoni. Shaken yesh ben tzada avera, because after all, in both cases, there is some kind of avera involved. The Kohen Gadol was married an Amona, which is an Aveira. The Cholol was produced through an Aveira, as opposed to the Ammonis, the daughter of the Ammoni. There's no Isser in how she was conceived. There's no Isser in how her father was conceived. So yeah, it would be poshet, according to Rabbi Yossi, that she's kosher. So now the question is, why is there room for Ula's din? Why is there room for Ula to be even saying this din when obviously Rabbi Yossi would agree with it? And the answer is no. So therefore he continues. So Rabba Ba'ula continues saying to Ula, Dilma Vade Ba'amoni Shenosa Bas Yisrael Kamre. Maybe what you're talking about is, you're not talking about when an Ammoni married an Ammonis. There's no chiddush in that. Of course, Rabbi Yossi would agree that it's mutter. So maybe the case that you're talking about specifically is when an Ammoni married a Bas Yisrael. Now, even though there is an Aveira over there, you're going to argue Bita Iksheva, that his daughter nevertheless is kosher to marry a Kohen, because the fact that their parents were Osir, that was only an Isu Lav, and it's not, it's an Isu Ashova Bakol, it's an Isu that applies equally to all Jewish people. That kind of Isu does not produce a Chalola. It doesn't produce a Zoyna, because we discussed earlier in the Masechta that a Zoyna would be only if, the mother might well be a Zoyna, but that doesn't affect the daughter. It means the mother would never be able to marry a Kohen. It doesn't affect the daughter, though. For the daughter to be also to marry a Kohen, she'd have to be a Chalola, and a Chalola can be produced only from the Isurim that are specific to Kohenim. And here, the Isur of an Ammoni is not specific to Kohenim, it's in general to the Jewish people. So is that maybe what you're saying, Ula, that if this Ammoni married an Ammonis, then there's no chiddush. Of course, his daughter was allowed to marry a Kohen. But if the Ammoni marries a Bas Yisrael, even then, even though there was an Aveda involved, nevertheless, the daughter was kosher the corner.
Is there a pasuk that said that Kohen have to be holier than the rest of the
people? Well, yeah, that's why they can't marry a Grusha or a Chalala or what have you.
That's different, you saw.
Yeah, but no. In other words, what we're saying is there's certain isurim of marriage that apply specifically to Kohen, Grusha, Chalala, etc. So that if a Kohen marries and has relations with one of these women who is also to him, then the child is going to be a Cholol or a Chalala. But if, for example, a Kohen marries, let's say, and then in this case, for example, a Kohen marries a Mamzeres, let's say, well, the good kid's going to be Mamzer, fine, that's not a good example. But let's say a Kohen marries a woman who's also to all Jews, let's say, for example, he marries a first generation Mitzvah or Adomis, the kid's not going to be a Cholol. He was over on an Isser, but the kid's not going to be a Cholol because that's an Isser Ashova Bakol. It's an Isser that applies collectively to the Jewish people. Yeah. Okay. So Amalei Ein. So Ula says, yes, in fact, that's what I meant. Even if the Ammoni marries a Bas Yisrael, which was an Isser, nevertheless, the daughter is Kshedel HaKohana. And we know that. He also Rovin Amar Abyechan. because when Reuven came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Bas Ger Amoni or Bas Mitzri Sheni, the daughter of a Ger from Amon, as who married a Bas Yisrael, as well as the daughter of a Mitzri Sheni, where we said again, only a third generation of Mitzri Gerim are allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people. The first two generations are not. So now this guy was a second generation Mitzri. So he's not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Ksheda V'resh Lokesh Amar Psola. So Rabbi Yochanan says that the child will be kosher, and Rish Lakish will say that she's possible. Rish Lakish on a psula, the Yalos Lami Kohen Gadol ba'amona. Again, like we said, a Kohen Gadol marries an Amona and the child is possible with the woman. The same way over here, the Amoni Ger or the Mitzri Ger marries a Jewish woman and their daughter is possible with the woman for the same reason. There was an Aveda involved. Rabbi Yochanan on a Kshera, why does Rabbi Yochanan say she's kosher? And we can learn that. We can see that Rabbi Yochanan said that she's kosher on the basis of the following discussion. The Toni Rav Zakkai Kamed Rav Yechanan. Rav Zakkai taught a braisa in front of Rav Yechanan that says, when the Pasuk says about the Kohen Gadol, ki im besula me'am of yikach picha, when it says, however, a besula from his own people, he should marry a wife. Lahavi giyodas mikana she ksheira lakohona. The word me'amav comes to include a giyodas mikana, which Rashi says means mimachoina, like from her basis, that she is kosher l'kohona, meaning that she herself is not a giyoris. We know a giyoris is possible to marry a kohen, but where her father and her mother are both from the same goyish nation, and they both became gerim, and then the daughter was conceived and then born. So she was conceived and born b'kedusha. So then, such a woman is allowed to marry a kohen, said this braisa. As opposed to, in other words, a ger amoni who marries Bas Yisrael, it's not mikana because they come from two different nations and the beer was ba'avera, so then the daughter would be possible. But if a ger amoni marries a ger amonis, for example, or a georis from any other nation, then the daughter would be kosher l'kohana. But omale, and Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Zakkai, ani shoyne amav me amav. Now I learn that the pasuk after all could have said kim besula amav, and instead it says me amav from his people. So that means me amav can mean mixas amav, even if it's only partially from his people. So lahavi besula abam beiz amamin. So I learn that it means that a kohen gadol would be allowed to even marry a besula who comes from two different nations. Meaning, in other words, again, even the Amoni, which is where we see. So therefore, what does it mean two nations? Means that the Amoni Ger marries a Bas Yisrael, which was an Aveira. Nevertheless, the daughter is kosher l'kohana. There we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds this.
Is there any concept of a male son being usher to marry
A Baskoin? No, the Gemara says in Kedushin Loi Huzer Ksheiros the Nosim Psulim. The women from the family of the Kohenim are not usher to marry Psulim, such as a Cholol anyway, the point is, so Rabbi Yochanan says the word Mei Amav doesn't even have to be that the woman is completely from a different nation. In other words, that her parents were Gerim from a different nation. Even if only her father was from a different nation, from Ammon, and her mother was a born Jew, where there is an Isser involved, because the Ammoni Ger is not allowed to marry a Jewish woman, nevertheless, the child was still kosher l'kohuna. L'hobi b'sula, abom b'ez ha'momen, ba'at amet giyodas mikana v'tuloi. You, Rav Zakkai, are saying in your braisa that only if she's mikana, only if her parentage from both sides are gerim, only then is she mutter in the kohuna. It's not right. You should be saying that in fact that she's mutter even if her father was an Ammoni ger and her mother was a Bas Yisrael, even though there was an issue involved.
Kana means both sides.
Kana literally means her foundation, like v'chana Hashem noto yiminecha. So it means that her foundation, that the parentage from both sides is gerim. Who became Gerim and then conceived her. Yeah. So now, my Shnei Amomin. So now, Rabbi Yochanan only mentioned Shnei Amomin. He didn't specify what two nations he means, but we have to figure out ourselves. My Shnei Amomin, what two nations are we talking about? Ilema Amoni Shinosa Amonis. Do we mean where both of them are from Amon, or my Shnei Amomin, but we're calling them as if they were from two nations because they have different dinim as far as intermarrying with the Jewish people? The Schorim Asurim and Kevus Mutaris, where we said the men are also the women of Mutar, and therefore, in effect, they're two nations. Well, you don't need to say that. Hainu Giyodas Mikana. That can also be described as Giyodas Mikana because you have that the both parents were Goyim who became Gerim. And that's the definition of Giyodas Mikana. So therefore, there'd be no reason for Rabbi Yochanan to say that that we need that the pasuk is including that as well. That's exactly what Reb Zakkai said in his braisa. So rather, it has to be necessarily, we're talking about Amoni marries a Bas Yisrael, and even though there's an issue involved, because La Yove Amoni Yomayavi, and he and she are both over on an issue in that, nevertheless, their child is kosher lekona. So that would be that. So there we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that sort of thing is mutter. So therefore, when Ula said on Amud Aleph that the daughter of an Amoni Ger is mutter lekona, he's talking according to Rabbi Yochanan that even though her mother was a Bas Yisrael. The Ikadamri, now another version of what Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Zakkai, is Omale, Ani Shoyne Amav Me Amav Lahavi Besola Haba Mishnei Amomin U Me Am Shiyesh Beshnei Amomin. Another version is he's saying explicitly that I hold that Me Amav means not only where she herself comes from two different nations, but one of those nations itself has two sub-nations within it. Which means, in other words, I'm the Ammonim, where we said the Ammonim. Given that Ammoni, Veloy Ammonis, means in effect that Ammon has two sub-nations in it. By the way, I mean, obviously throughout the sugya over here, we're mentioning Ammoni, the same exact thing would apply to a Moyavi, of course. We're only mentioning Ammoni because he's mentioning in the past, first.
You know how it says that a Mitzri can marry in?
Yeah.
What if it's a half Mitzri or a quarter Mitzri?
So that's in general with Goyim, we go according to the father. So if a Mitzri man, still as a goy, if a Mitzri man, a goy, married a woman from, married an American woman, let's say, then the halacha is that the kid would be considered a Mitzri. Whereas if the mother was a Mitzris, then the kid would not.
So how are we doing that?
But we're not dealing with that yet. We're dealing over here with the Ammonim and Me'ovim, where you have the difference between the men and the women. What we're saying is, in other words, that within Ammon and Moab themselves, you have two sub-nations, because in each one of them, the men are also and the women are mutter. So therefore, so in other words, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, even if you have, the father is from Ammon, where Ammon itself has two sub-nations within it, men and women. And then he marries a Bas Yisrael, who's from a completely different nation, and where there was an issue involved, because he is an Ammoni, is not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. Nevertheless, the daughter of such a marriage is still mutter, the kohuna. So how are you, Rabbi Zakkai, saying in your braisa that only a giyoris mikana, only if both her parents are gerim, is she allowed to marry a kohen, betuloi, and not more than that? Okay, so the Gemara asks, according to the first lashon, he's saying that just the word may amav means me beza momin. So therefore, we can equally well say that it applies to a Mitzri and to a Mitzri Sheni and a Bas Yisrael, because they also have two nations, Mitzri and Jew. But according to the second lashon that we said that the word may amav implies where the one nation itself has two sub nations with it, Bas Mitzri Sheni the Kshedo Lakona Manolay. Then where we're going to learn about the Mitzri Sheni within the Mitzri, you don't have two sub nations because the men and the women are both Osir. You're going to say he learns from the Ammoni, and he says the same way as the Ammoni, there's an issue of him marrying a Bas Yisrael, the same with the Mitzri. Can't. Mala Ammoni shenosa Bas Yisrael shekein neklebas mutaris. After all, an Ammoni, the women from Ammon are mutar always. So therefore, so you could say there's a kula about Ammon relative to Mitzrayim. The answer is Mitzri sheni shenosa Mitzri sheni shnia yechia. Okay, but you can answer that. We can shlug that up by comparing the case of a Mitzri Sheni who marries a Mitzri Shnia, where after all, even though, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, the Mitzri Sheni and the Mitzri Shnia, each one of them individually is not allowed to marry a Yid, but the two of them together can produce a child that's completely allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people and is allowed to marry a Kohen. So therefore, see, you could say the same thing, that an Ammoni shenasa Bas Yisrael, even though he's not allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people, nevertheless, you could still say that that their daughter is going to be kosher. So you're going to say, Mala Mitzri Sheni shenasa Mitzri Shnia, Shekein en Biyasim Aveira. On the other hand, there's no Aveira involved over there, whereas with the Ammoni and the Bas Yisrael, there is. And you would answer, Ammoni shenasa Bas Yisrael Yechiach. You're going to go back to the Ammoni shenasa Bas Yisrael, which is allowed, B'chozer Adin, B'chola, and again, we would go back and forth. And what's the Tzad HaShava? That Tzada Shava would be that as long as she's in the Keva, where again the Nekevas from Ammon are mutter, and in the case of the Mitzri, the third generation is mutter, then they're kosher l'kohona. I the Bia was Ba'aveira in one case, doesn't matter. Doesn't affect the child, we're saying, yeah. Okay. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef says, now you were mentioning before that Rabbi Yochanan had said to Rabbi Zakkai that, you know, it could have said Amav, and instead it said Mei Amav, and this is where we learn this concept of Shnei Amamin. So Rabbi Yosef says, Hainu Deshmeinele Rabbi Yehuda, Rama Amav, Mei Amav. Now I understand that I once heard Rabbi Yehuda, who was his Rebbe, quoting where it could have said Amav, and it said Mei Amav, V'lo Yadayna, Mei Kamar. I didn't know what he was saying, what he was darshaning. Now I understand the point of that drasha is that we're using it to be matu, this case where an Ammoni marries a Bas Yisrael and their daughter is kosher before him.
So the men add what?
The mem adds that even though it's Mishnei Amomin, even though this girl was born from two different nations where those two nations are not allowed to intermarry, Minat Torah, because one's an Ammoni and the other is a Bas Yisrael, nevertheless, the daughter is still kosher l'korona. So the Gemara continues, Ki Asir of Shmuel by Yehuda Omar, when of Shmuel by Yehuda came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Hochi Tana Kamei, this is, he has a different version of the discussion, was Isha Ammonis Kshera, a woman from Ammonis Kosher, B'na Me Ammoni Posel, but her son from an Ammoni would be Posel, because he's a male he's a male from Ammon, Ubita Me Ammoni Kshera, but her daughter from an Ammoni would be Kosher. And the Brice would continue. When is this talking about? Only if an Ammoni and an Ammonis together, well, not together, whatever, if both of them are Gairim from Ammon, then fine. An Ammoni is allowed to marry an Ammonis. But according to Rav Shmuel by Yehuda's version of Rav Zakkai's Brice, he's saying that if an Ammoni marries a Bas Yisrael, then in fact the child will be possible. And according to that version, Omalei Puk Tony Lavora.
Why is it possible?
Because an Ammoni is not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. So before we had the version that we had at the top of the Omud was Rav Zakkai did not explicitly say what happens if an Ammoni marries a Bas Yisrael. He said that's what we're saying. The child
will be possible.
Because an Ammoni is not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. That's the point. So at the top of the Omud, all we said was Rav Zakkai's Braisa had said that Giyotis Mikana is Kshedel Kohona. He didn't talk about explicitly what happens if the father is an Ammoni and the mother is a Bas Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan told him that in fact the word Mei Amav teaches us that such a thing is mutter. Now, not that it's mutter for them to get married, but the daughter is kosher, that the daughter is not possible. Now, in Rabbi Shmuel by Yehuda's version of the Braisa, Rabbi Zakkai explicitly taught that the daughter of an Ammoni and a Bas Yisrael would be psula because her father was not allowed to marry her mother.
I understand, but why should the child?
Why should it be?
Just like you said, it was a balavera. It's a balavera, but the child is nevertheless.
Well, but
that's
so one second. Omalei, so according to this version, Rabbi Yochanan tells him, "Puk Tony Lavora, go teach your Braisa outside the Beis Medrash." In other words, your Braisa does not belong in the Beis Medrash because it's not correct.
Good.
Yeah. So why is that? Because my damit isha amonis kshera, the first part of your braisa is saying a woman from amonis kosher, sure, amoni vlay amonis. Bname amoni posel, sure. The second part of your braisa that you're saying that the son of an amoni would be posel, sure, deha amoni, because after all, he's an amoni and lo yove amoni b'kal Hashem, gam dor asiri, so he's the son of an amoni, so therefore that would create a problem with him. But Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't understand. When you're saying your braisa, Avo bita me Ammoni psula. When you're saying her daughter from an Ammoni is possible, my bita me Ammoni. What do you mean? Ilema Ammoni shenosa Ammonis. If you mean that the Ammoni married an Ammonis, hainu giyoris mikana. That's a giyoris mikana. And we said before that the Braisa said that's allowed to marry even a Koyan, let alone Israel. Ela Ammoni shenosa Bas Yisrael. Evidently, it must mean an Ammoni who married a Bas Yisrael and it's not right. It's incorrect to say that she can't marry, that she's posel. That's why, almost like Puk Tony Lavora, that's why he's telling him, go teach this outside the Beis Medrash, because the third part of your braisa is necessarily wrong. When it says, Bita me Ammoni Kshera, if you mean Bita me Ammoni Psula, if you mean that whether the mother was an Ammonis or whether the mother was a Bas Yisrael, the daughter is in fact kosher, so don't teach a braisa that says that she's posel. Because even when it was a Bas Yisrael, it was a Bia Ba'avera, nevertheless, it doesn't affect the child, and the child is, in fact, kosher l'korona on the basis of the drosha before from the word Me'amo. Okay. Shukoyach, everyone.
Shukoyach.